Are you ready for the word tonight? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Now, we've been talking about walking by faith for several weeks now, and somebody might say, "Why are you still talking about that walking by faith?" Because without faith, you can't please God. And if there was a component missing in the church of the end times up to this time, it's that they have not learned faith. We have learned how to try to be nice. We've learned how to try to do good deeds. We've learned how to try to be loving, try to have peace, but we've never learned how to activate the power of the Word of God by believing what God said and standing on it despite what the natural is declaring to us. Amen. And standing until circumstances change because supernatural power is released through that faith connection. We're to be a people that believe the Word of God. He makes it clear He's a God that cannot lie. And He's just looking for somebody that will believe His promises, believe the prophetic, and will act on it. I believe what makes a Christian stand out in these end times is what, how high of a level will you believe God, and how much will you step out on what you believe? You know, we say we believe God, but nobody will step into trusting God in the supernatural. You know, we say believe God until we come to that cliff God says, "I need you to step off of to go to the next place," and nobody, "Well, you know, I don't know about all that." Then it wasn't really faith. Because the faith you have is willing to step into what God said to do. And we've talked about it before. We all have a calling on our life. It's all going to require supernatural strength and power. Amen. And only faith has the ability to access it for us. Faith and believing in the Word of God by faith is more than just getting healed when you need healing. It's more than just getting your bills paid. Faith is about accessing all the grace God's provided to fulfill your high calling. It's about coming out of this mundane life that we've lived in most of our days and let God propel us into this supernatural, oh hallelujah, supernatural life of total excitement. Amen? To live by faith is to be elevated from a church life of being on the merry-go-round to going to the biggest roller coaster out there. You guys ever seen the atomic drops and the T2s and all those other rides they have at the amusement parks where they just lift you up real high in this seat and then they just drop you? I love those things. Amen. Some of them stop you then. Some of them just let you swing on out, you know. I love that feeling. I didn't used to. I've trained myself to love that feeling. I've gotten where, bless God, I know it's going to catch me. It used to be like, "I hope I don't die." I've done it enough times, I know now it's going to catch me. The first time I rode the Vortex at Kings Island, this would have been back, you know, in 1980 or so, whenever they built it, the first year they built it. And I'm looking at all these twists. Y'all ever seen the Vortex? Amen. Goes through these loops and twists and all this, you know. And the first time it starts up at hill, it's going click, click, click. And I'm thinking, what have I got myself into? I don't know if I can survive this whole ride. Maybe if I just hold on and close my eyes, it'll be okay. And so click, click, click. And finally, when it goes over the top of the hill and things starts to go, it's like, I don't like this. Somebody get me off. You're already on it. You can't get off. Amen. You know what I did? We made it through the ride. I was thankful to survive it, and we got right back on it again. Amen. And started getting where it was my favorite ride. IBM, when I worked for IBM, used to have family day at Kings Island. I don't know if they still do or not. But they would open the park 2 hours early for us. And they would open all the rides for just us. And you could walk on any ride for 2 hours. We made a beeline straight to the Vortex. There was one time I rode it 6 consecutive times. Amen? A few times they didn't make us get off. And if we got out, we had to get out of the thing, walk in a circle, They had a shortcut. Walk on a circle, get back on. And we rode it 6 consecutive times. I felt like I'd been through a blender. But you know, after you've rode it a few times, you get used to that sensation of dropping. And it's like, okay, here it comes. And you're like viewing everything instead of closing your eyes and screaming, holding on. You're like waving your arms. You're just relaxed. And it became relaxing because you had acclimated yourself to that, how can I say, physical effect. Faith is somewhat the same way. You have to be willing to let God strap you into a ride that you may not normally want to be strapped into. Amen? And you got to be patient while it clicks up the hill till the bottom drops out. And the first time you rode that roller coaster of faith, you might think, I will never do that again. Or something in you will say, if you just try it again, you'll get used to it. Faith is the same way. And the first few times you try to live by faith or be healed by faith, it may seem like, my goodness, you were about to die. But then it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes something that you're accustomed to. And all of a sudden, you know, if I'd leave the vortex and we'd go ride the merry-go-round, I'm thinking, what am I doing? Dun, 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 you know, up and down. Or we go ride, you know, Adventure Express, which was, you know, a very miniature version of a metal roller coaster. If they still have that one or not. Hadn't been there in years. Anyway, we'd ride it. And it'd be like, this is boring. The smaller coaster wasn't the same after you'd ridden the bigger one. And you wanted to go on an even bigger one because you had gotten acclimated to living riding roller coasters. And so faith the same way. And what happens is once you've learned to experience God's faithfulness in your faith declarations, your faith stands, and you've seen God come through, regular life won't do it anymore. Regular life will not suffice anymore. I cannot go back into religion. I can't go back into trying to do it all myself and just trying to survive on my own wisdom and strength. I've got to see the supernatural. What the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? If so be you've tasted that the Lord is good, it says. And I'm telling you what, once you've tasted the goodness of God by faith, you can't go back down to living like you did before. You have to go higher. So where we're at as a church and where I'm at in my walk with God, I've got to stretch to the next level. Because, you know, I ride the vortex enough times, it gets routine. I'm ready for a bigger coaster. I'm ready for a bigger faith stretch. Are y'all following me on this tonight? And we're to be those that live by faith. And God's saying, if you can't believe me in my word, you can't even please me. And it's more than just believing God will save you. It's believing God at all of his promises. It's developing a relationship with God where he says, I'll take care of everything you do. You know, when we're raising our kids, when we're all raising our kids, you know, you did more for your kid than just, you know, put clothes on them. You fed them. You educated them. You wiped their nose when it was running. Wiped some other things before they learned how to do it themselves. Amen. You learned how to take care of every need of that child until you could train them to do what you do. And that's what faith development is about. God wants to teach us how to partner with him to do everything in life. God wants to be the center of exalting your marriage to the highest levels. If you're not married, he wants to be the one to exalt your peace to the highest levels. It almost sounds like there's no peace in marriage. You can have one or the other. But the peace in your marriage. God wants to promote us into the supernatural. You know, I got all these notes we're going to get to, but y'all just bear with me. I've mentioned this before, but when I was a kid, I loved superhero comic books. I'd read any of them, but I love the superhero ones. And I would go to all these mental adventures about, you know, flying and having super strength and all, and, you know, Captain America's shield. Anybody else do any of that? and like, I want to do these things. But then reality would kick in and say, you can't do anything of superhuman ability. You're just a person. You follow me? And then we'd watch, you know, the movies. And we'd see all these, you know, supermen on the movies, you know, Tarzan, all these things. Man, I'd love to. I would yodel all over my neighborhood. Oh, amen. Just wishing we had bigger vines that would really hold you. We'd climb the grapevines out and move the country, move the grapevines and yodel. Wanting to be something beyond normal. Something with superpowers of some sort. And then you get in revival and God says, they're available. They're available. You can live above the natural. Amen. I mean, we've been made a new creation in Christ. We are regened in God's image. We've been given His authority and His Spirit. We have the very anointing of God available to us without limit. How much will we believe for? And God says, do we have anybody here with a mindset to go into the realm of supernatural thinking? Anybody here think they can do beyond normal, beyond average, above human? We are no longer human. We are of the DNA of God Himself. And He expects for us to step into it by faith. To quit declaring how we're incapable, how we can't, how we're limited. And start declaring that God is in me and I can do all things through Him. To put on a superhero mindset. Not to elevate yourself above someone, you follow me in pride, but to recognize God's made available, we can be other people's deliverer through Christ. We can be the one that comes out on the scene with the answers and with the power. If you have a heart to help people, right? And God put that heart in you when you were saved. God's looking for people to believe His Word that you can do what Jesus did. And Jesus walked on water. I mean, look at some of the things that happened in Scripture. Did you know anything that happened in the Bible, we have the availability, we can do it? He walked on water. Healed all these sick people. Raised the dead repeatedly. Elijah outran the chariot. Amen. Samson pulled down the pillars. Amen. To kill with the Philistines. Killed 1,000 people with the jawbone of a donkey. Look at all the stuff that happened. Elijah called down fire. Elisha throws a stick in water and causes an axe head to float to the top. You can go all the way through the Scripture and see miracle after miracle after miracle. And God says, you don't realize you've got a better covenant with better promises. It just takes you putting back on that old childhood mindset of wanting to go beyond regular. I've never wanted to be regular. Never wanted to be average. I want to excel into whatever God's opened a door for me to excel into. And He's just looking for people that will invest their focus on His kingdom, how can I say, instruction, that He can teach us how to go above. I mean, God says in Deuteronomy 28, if you listen to my voice and hearken to it, amen, if you obey my voice, I will make you the head, not the tail, above only, never beneath. Amen. Blessings will overtake you in every area of life. Now, it's not that I need blessings, you know, to be happy. I need to be blessed to demonstrate God's ability to bless. You follow me? Plus, there is some satisfaction in the blessings as well, right? And God says, I've made it possible through our covenant. You can be this person. Turn to Isaiah. I said Isaiah. I need to back up. Turn to Deuteronomy. I was on the wrong page. Deuteronomy chapter 5. I want you to let your mind go back to those childhood, that childhood level where you wanted and were would have a mindset, I can do the impossible. I mean, how many of you like me would, you know, we climb everything, we get on top of the roof all the time. And we'd say, man, I'd love to be able to jump off this roof and fly. And you sit there and think about it. You think about jumping off. And then reason would kick in and say, no, that would hurt. Amen. Well, get up on the ledge of faith and recognize if you jump off, God will catch you. Whatever he instructs you, seek him till he instructs you what to do. And then when he tells you what to do, jump off. Just jump. It's kind of like the, you know, again, the child that, and we've all gone through this one. You know, your child's up on the bank or the deck or whatever, and you tell your child, jump off, I'll catch you. And they're going, uh-uh. I don't trust you that far. You follow me? I trust you to make me, you know, some good s'mores or whatever, but don't ask me to jump off something. And finally, you convince them to jump, and they jump, and you catch them. That's what God's trying to do with us in faith. Just believe, if you'll speak the word, God will fulfill it. And what faith does, when you get over in the realm of this, of the kingdom being kingdom-minded, and you're living by faith, faith actually sees beyond the natural into the spirit. I'm not talking about you see angels and devils and all that thing. You can. I mean, people have that happen. Patty's had that happen. And people see angels sometimes. Amen. I just figure every time I get up morning, I look over, I'm seeing an angel. Why do I need to see any others? Come on. That was good, wasn't it? But faith sees supernatural capacity. It sees kingdom possibilities. You know, you tell the average person that you're believing that you're going to raise the dead. They think you're, the average Christian, think you're crazy. Like, Jesus did that. Who do you think you are that you think you could raise the dead? My mind's over there already. Is yours over there? I expect to raise dead people. Amen. Nobody in this church is going to be allowed to die in here. We're going to raise you. Amen. I really, because I've been so exposed to the Word of God, I expect to raise the dead. You know, we used to talk about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we would talk about, I believe we can lay hands on people and God will open blind eyes and open deaf ears and God will heal diabetes and God will heal bad backs. He'll take, you know, sickness and disease. And we talk about it and we talk about the other people in the church. Yeah. You know, we talk about it with other people in the churches we were in. And they'd go, do you really believe all that's going to be possible? You really think that's possible? And they would look at you like you had lost it. But we really believed it was available. So we went after it. And now everything we've named, we've seen. We've seen every kind of healing I believe there is, other than I haven't raised any dead people yet. I don't believe I've opened any blind eyes either. Maybe it has some improvement in their eyesight, I don't know. I believe this 25 years ago and started investing myself and seeking to do those things. And guess what? Here we are 25 years ago, or 25 years later, we're seeing it happen. Raising the dead is just another step. The glory manifesting is just another step. Amen? Seeing hospitals emptied and mental institutions emptied out. It's just another step of seeing beyond of God's capacity in the realm of the Spirit by a faith connection. Is anybody hearing me tonight? Faith sees the availability of God's possibilities and is willing to invest themselves in accessing those possibilities. Amen? Faith also speaks beyond. Faith conversation declares kingdom results in their life today. When you really believe what God's made available in His Word, in His kingdom, then you will speak in agreement with that. You won't be saying, I feel so bad, I hope I don't die. Instead, you'll be saying the word. You'll be saying, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Sickness and disease are far from me in Jesus' name. You won't speak the seen, you'll speak the unseen. So faith sees beyond, faith speaks beyond, amen. Faith stands on the beyond, and faith manifests the beyond. Faith even meditates beyond. Faith meditates the word. It meditates the kingdom. You know, as a kid, I wasn't raised in church, so I couldn't meditate the Bible. So I meditated the superheroes. And I'd be meditating. You know, the bad guy jumping out from beside the building, and, you know, you just happen to have the stick and you have the baseball bat in your hand, and you knock him upside the head and you save the day. You meditate these things. See, anybody know what I'm talking about? You go through all these scenarios, what if, you know, and you'd be going through all these deliverance activities in your head. Yeah. And nobody ever jumped out. If I didn't have it, I didn't have the baseball bat at the right time. But now we're equipped. Now, no matter what devil jumps out, we are equipped to deal with the situation. We have a right now to meditate kingdom results. Not a right, a responsibility. To meditate that if somebody sick comes to you, you will lay hands on them, they will be healed. Amen? I meditate all the time, this church at a much higher level. I meditate all the time, debt-freeness in my life and in this church. You follow me? I meditate overflow in our accounts, that we have all new equipment. I meditate we have a fully staffed, fully equipped worship team with all the best sound system out there. Amen? I'm believing for several of those electronic soundboards that we don't have to readjust it every time. You just hit the button and it always goes to the past adjustments that you've set. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. They've got soundboards out there that if we're doing praise and worship with one team, you set your soundboard and you program it to set. They have them at Lexington Church. And another team comes up, or there's maybe a different program, maybe it's drama or something. You set the soundboard to theirs, and you remember it. And all you do is when you want to go back to the other, you hit a button, and all the dials just jump to these different spots. So you don't have to reset everything. All the monitors go to where they're supposed to be. I see that already. We will have a Corvallis, same page system in this church. I see it already. You follow me? We can't let our minds meditate where we're at. We have to meditate beyond. Because if your mind can't meditate beyond, you can't truly see beyond, you won't speak beyond, and you won't receive beyond. Faith lets your conversation and your mind and your imagination go to the next level. Faith sees that bridge off the cliff you're about to step off of. It sees God answering your stretch of faith. It sees if you'll just hear God and do what He says to do, God's going to catch you. And faith is developed by time in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? Deuteronomy chapter 5, I told you to turn there, right? Verse number 33 says, this is God says, actually it's Moses, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. It says here, you shall walk in all the ways that God has commanded you. Now, we've talked about the ways of God before. Now, understand, walk, we're using the term walk, and now we're correlating it. It means by faith. Because God would never tell us to walk by the natural. God never intended us to be natural, normal, limited. So when He says, I want you to walk on my ways, He's saying, I need you to do it by faith. In other words, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be components or circumstances that want to elevate themselves against you. But I need you to let your faith arise that you can walk into what I have for you. And He says, I need you to walk in my ways. And the ways of God are the principles of the kingdom. They're the spiritual laws of the kingdom. Sowing and reaping is a spiritual law. It's one of the ways of God. Given it shall be given unto you, right? Forgiveness is a spiritual principle. It's a way of God. Love is a way of God. God has all these ways or principles that involve kingdom living that we're to involve ourselves in. Amen? And we want to make sure that we're involved in all of them that he's released to us. You know, I mentioned this once a few times before. But if I'm going to make cupcakes, then I need a recipe for cupcakes, right? At least I need to know the recipe. So I'm going to need flour and sugar, probably some baking powder or something like that, or my flavoring, which in this case in my house it would be chocolate. Amen. Some egg and some oil, whatever's in, you know, cupcakes. Does that sound right? You're making cupcakes. It's got all these ingredients. What if I leave out one of the ingredients, and it's a key ingredient? You're not going to have cupcakes. You might have pancakes. You follow me? You're not going to have chocolate cupcakes if you leave out the chocolate. Right? You leave out the flour, you're going to have a mess. No baked cookies, I guess. In the same fashion, God never intended for you to pick one promise of the Word and manifest it without learning all the ways of God. So you can't just sow a big seed and think that you're going to see God overwhelm you with blessings if you've not learned to walk in love as well. Because it's one of the ways of God, and it's all one recipe. God's recipe for spiritual development involves accessing all of His ways. You've got to become forgiving. You've got to be a sower. You've got to become loving. And you've got to learn how to speak in agreement with the Word of God. All these components of the life of faith are required to go into God's blessings. So when He says, if you walk in My ways, He's saying, if you walk in My laws of the kingdom. Now again, we think of laws, you know, you tell people about the laws of God and they think, yes, thou shalt not this and that and the other. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual laws. That if you do one thing, it will result in this. You follow me? I mean, if I mix hydrogen and oxygen in the right molecular ratio, right, 2 hydrogen to 1 oxygen, and I bring them together with the right ability to combine them, which would be fire in this case, I'm going to get water. Hydrogen plus oxygen equals water. And nothing else. That's why there's no, you know, hydrocarbons released from burning hydrogen. It's a law of the natural. And a law the Spirit says, if you mix your faith with the promise of God, you'll get a guaranteed result. It's not the do's and don'ts. It's the ways of the kingdom that allow the power of God to be released in your life. And God said, if you walk in My ways, then I'm going to bless you. In fact, He spells it out. He says, that you may live, there's the life of God, the fullness of the life of God, that it may be well with you. Oh, you're always winning. Amen. You're always blessed. That you may prolong your days in the land. You'll live a long time. Amen. And you'll possess it. God says, if you'll learn and walk in My ways, you're going to win. Let me turn that around. Those that will not walk in God's ways, especially in these end times, are going to lose. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how big of a house they have. Whether they have, you know, a wife half their age, and you know, everything looks like it's going wonderful, they're going to lose. Because only walking by God's ways will produce in these end times. I believe there's a great inversion of wealth going to take place in the near future from the hands of those that have gained it through unrighteous means, and is going to give it to those that are kingdom-minded and walking in His ways. tells us that in James chapter 5, doesn't it? We are the ones that God has favored because we believe His Word. Psalms 23. How many can quote this psalm? Few of you. Amen. Well, let's look at it under the light of what we've been talking about. Let's go straight to verse number... Well, let's go to verse 1. We can't skip it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a promise. That is a promise. God said, you shall not want. Has anybody ever been in lack? You know why we had lack? We didn't believe this verse. That was painful, wasn't it? God says, you'll not lack. You'll not want. If we have lack or we have want, it's because we're not fully in faith of this verse, or we've not activated by the right actions to bring forth His increase. I don't believe Jesus ever had a single day of lack in His life. The day He's born, they brought Him enough wealth to last anybody 5 lifetimes. Are you following me? Ends up, He's in His ministry. Herod's steward, the wife of Herod's steward, is financing His ministry. She's one of them involved. That man has some money. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. There's another promise. These are all promises. He will bring peace to your soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now here we go again. God wants to lead you in paths of righteousness. He wants to lead you in a path, in a direction that you're finding out who you are in Christ Jesus, that you are the righteousness of God in Him. Let me pause there for another minute because I want to bring this point home. You will never walk by faith to any higher level than you realize God has made you a new creation and you've been made righteous. If we could just get a hold of that one revelation, it would propel us into the supernatural. If you really knew that you were made in the image of Jesus Christ and given everything that He was given, amen, except the need to go to the cross, you would be raising the dead right now. We just really don't fully have the revelation of who we are. Our whole life's programming of being normal and being limited is contaminating the revelation God's bringing to us that we are superhuman. And the more time we stay in the Word studying our superhumanness, the more we'll be liberated from our natural limitations. Verse number 4 is where I want to go. Yea, though I walk, how do we walk? By faith. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, you know, I've heard this ministry many times. I believe the first one I heard say it was Jerry Seville. Is a shadow of a dog never bit anybody. And it's a shadow of death, right? Amen. A shadow of a dog. Get back. It's not going to hurt you. Amen. But we go through these times where death is screaming, I'm going to kill you. I'm taking you out. Your ministry is over. You failed God. He's done with you. All these lies of the enemy. Amen. And it says, I will not fear. You know why you don't fear? Because the walking applies to walking by faith. Faith and fear are polar opposites. Fear, faith will destroy fear, just like fear entertained will destroy your faith. But faith applied and faith meditated on will destroy fear. In fact, what you meditate on will win the battle. And here it says He's walking through the shadow. Now we know He's walking by faith. He's already talking faith all the way through this. Amen. And in fact, I believe what He's doing here is He's saying, I'm going through some dark places, but God, I'm trusting in You. I refuse to fear. Yeah. Amen. Even though everybody's saying they're going to kill me, I know You will sustain me. He's in faith. Faith and walking and living by faith will take you through every challenge life throws your way in a form of, in a fashion of victory. If you believe. Now, what too many times we do is, you know, God will lead us into something, or the enemy will attack us, and we'll be in this attack, and we'll start speaking, I guess I'm going to die. I guess I got to quit. I guess it's not going to. And people bail out all the time. It didn't work. I better find a church where it's dead. I got hurt last time, you know, when I tried to live by faith. I better never try that again. You're deciding because you rode the roller coaster one time and somebody puked, you know, on the loop above you and you got a little on you, that you'll never ride the roller coaster again. That happened to you once, didn't it?
Yeah.
Patty was on, what was it, the rock-a-plane or whatever?
It was a round thing that had
the spun. Rock-a-plane is what we called it. It's a Ferris wheel with the little buckets. Nigga around, and somebody threw open the one above her and it drained down on her. Well, she didn't quit riding them because of that. Amen. You don't quit because you have a bad experience. Did Spider-Man quit the first time Sandman whooped his tail? You can't quit. Amen. Did Superman quit because Lex Luthor got a hold of some kryptonite?
No.
You don't quit. You press in further. You say, God, I must need more word on this thing. Amen. And faith will take you through that valley of the shadow of death. You just got to recognize in that battle, it's a shadow. It's not real. It's a shadow. It's just an image being portrayed that is not genuine. Only the Word of God has genuine substance to it. I shall not be moved. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head. There's the anointing. My cup runneth over. He's talking about overflow in the midst of being in the valley. God, you're bringing him out of the valley, and I will see abundance come out of this. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Never let the valley experience entrap you to live short of God's blessing. And that is the intention of the enemy, to take you into a shadow experience, a threat of death, to get you to quit. I don't know how many times I've had the devil tell me he's going to kill me. Many times. This is it. You're going to die this time. And I felt at times like I was going to die. Felt a few weeks ago like it would have been an improvement. You know, when I had that ice pick experience. But you know what? He couldn't keep it up. It was a shadow. It was a momentary challenge the enemy's trying to stop me with. And all it does is make you mad enough to go further. Amen. I'm having all these movies flash before me, I guess, because we're talking about comic books. But I'm thinking about the Christmas story where Ralphie finally got mad at the bully.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And just tore him up. I believe it's time the Christians to put, you know, we're like Ralphie. We're innocent. We're kind, loving, you know. And the bully comes along. It's time to rise up and just slap him. This is the year the Avengers assemble.
Amen.
Psalm 26. I want to look at a few things we do by walking in faith. Psalm 26 verse 1 says, Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I've trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. He says here, I'm not going to fall, I'm not going to slide, I'm not going to backslide. He says, I've walked in integrity. I believe integrity is a spiritual principle. If you cannot keep your integrity, amen, you can't keep the blessing. If you have to con, connive, and manipulate people, if you're willing to cheat on different things, you cheat on your taxes, cheat at work or whatever, then what happens is you have sown seed that are going to result in loss in your life. And integrity will take faith. You have to believe if you will guard your... You know what I mean by integrity, right? You have to believe if you will guard your integrity, even if it costs you money, even if it costs you, you know, respect or image, you have to guard your integrity above all things. It's going to take your faith. Because you have to believe that if you will be a person of integrity, God will pay you back what lack of integrity would have purchased for you. I believe if I'll be honest on my taxes, God will pay me more than I could have gotten had I not been honest. I believe if I will walk in integrity regarding the tithe, that God will pay me more than I could possibly purchase with the tithe I held back. I believe I'll walk in integrity by speaking honestly to people. Amen. Even if they don't like what I say, and I may lose a business connection, may lose a church member. You follow me? God will promote me and increases out of it. We have lost church members out here because we told the truth. A lot of churches will not tell the truth. They won't. They'll say things like, you can live in sin, God understands. Amen. You can sleep with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, and God knows that you're just flesh and you have weaknesses. Just come to the cross. God understands. So we'll announce things like, if you're sleeping around, there will be ramifications. The blessing won't work. Now, I don't say you can't come to this church. I say, still come here. But it's my job, I'm held responsible if I don't tell you what can cause you damage in life. Amen. As a shepherd, I've got to tell you when you're hanging around the wolf. Right. So people leave, they get mad. Oh, I'm out of here. He thinks I'm a sinner because I'm sleeping with my boyfriend. I think you're in sin because you're disobeying the Word of God. You follow me? And now there's a big effort to try to quit the church, to try to get the church to quit addressing homosexuality. Amen. We have to tell the truth. We have to walk in integrity. And if they threaten, you know, with whatever lawsuits or whatever, hey, I trust God to protect us. We lose members because of whatever, sorry. God will answer integrity. Amen. And not only that, you start to tamper with integrity, you're already on the path to backsliding. Tell the truth. Psalm 26, verse 3. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Amen. I have walked in thy truth. I believe what causes a person to steer clear of deception, even as a Christian, is to always honor truth. By faith, I'm honoring truth. Because the enemy always wants us to get us to back a lie for personal benefit. I'm watching this happen right now in the political arena. And I don't know, you know who you're supporting in this election. Amen. But it better be who God's supporting. It better be the one that, you know, is standing up for Christian rights and the principles of the kingdom. Better not be a baby killer, if nothing else. And I'm watching people on television, on the internet, on Facebook, declare lies that they know are lies. This last week has been coming out because the new health care plan declares that the government's going to supply funding for abortion and abortion pills. And the church is standing up saying, no, we don't agree with that. Our tax money shouldn't fund what we don't morally agree with. Y'all follow me on that? So what's happening is or people are coming up. I'm watching people I know putting stuff on the internet, say, such and such candidate, such and such Republican candidate is against contraception. What were they against? They're against abortion. But they bend the truth to try to win people's votes. Even candidates, if they're telling half-truths to win people's votes, they are opening doors to deception in their lives. And if you're going to speak, you better speak the whole truth, like on a witness stand. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, it always aggravates me on the television programs where they swear in the witness. Put your hand on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? I don't even know if they do that anymore. And that just shows you where the ungodly have taken over the court system. And they'll do that on the television, and then the attorney will get up and ask the witness or the one that's guilty and say, did you take that $10 bill that was on that counter? And they say, yes, but, and the story is, yes, they did, but they had two fives in their pocket they were about to put in place. Huh? And they'll say, nope, no further questions, no further questions. Mm-hmm. And they say, tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and then we'll let them tell it.
Right.
Because these attorneys want to manipulate facts to win a case versus get to the bottom of something. And a person's going to walk in the ways of God, is going to walk by faith, has got to use their faith that if I tell the truth, even if it hurts me, even if people are upset, I'm telling the truth. Even if we lose membership, God will add back double for our trouble, right? Psalm 84. Walking by faith. Psalm 84 verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He's your revelation or your illumination and your protection. Do you believe that? I believe all wisdom comes from God. And I believe He is my protection. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will He withhold from those that live in a godly fashion. If you will determine to walk uprightly, walk holy, walk in integrity, walk of the revelation of your righteousness uprightly, knowing who you are, God says everything will come into your life. He'll withhold nothing from you. See, we have to have this mindset. God's not holding anything back from us. The enemy's just trying to get us off track. God is not withholding. Our faith is not connecting. And we got to get in these verses and find out where it says God said He'd withhold nothing, and meditate these verses so long that it's so real to us that increase flows into us automatically. Nothing can hold it back because we know that we received from the Word of God. And again, the biggest challenge to even a revivalist living by faith or walking by faith is their inability to shut off the distractions, get in the Word of God. It says in Daniel that in the end times, men shall be running to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. In the end times, that's what it says. Time of the Antichrist. We're there. We're the busiest people that have ever been on the planet. Sometimes I cry out for the days of Mayberry. You got off at 5 o'clock, you go home selling on a porch and sip lemonade. Amen? We don't do it now. We go from one job to the next, and we go to the store and run over here, do this shopping, do this, get home at 10 o'clock at night, crash on the couch, suck down a hot chocolate and go to bed. Get up at 6 next morning, start over again. Where's the time for the Word of God? And we have to be those that aren't trying to work 3 jobs. We're more concerned about getting in the Word and letting that Word elevate us to a higher standard of existence. And here we lose people too sometimes. I don't want to prophesy this. But when I say, when we talk about you need time in the Word, well, I haven't got time to that. This is not, must not be my church. You have a choice to make time. I have found out what I want to do, I can make time for. You know, we've been shooting these guns lately. And when you shoot the gun, you're supposed to clean it. When I was a kid, we never know to clean no gun. We cleaned the guns once a year, whether needed or not, and we shot them all the time. You follow me?
Yeah.
Of course, the bullet probably couldn't go straight. I don't know, but clean guns. But now we've got a new mindset. That's the gun's expensive. So now every time we shoot it, within a few hours, if not right away, we clean the guns. I mean, some of them going right there at the range, just clean them out right there. We make time to clean the gun. You, if your favorite show's on TV, you make time to watch it. You record, you make time to watch it. You follow me? You make time. And we're so busy making time for all the things we want to do, we've not prioritized our want high enough for the things of the kingdom, we don't make time to get in the Word of God. Or we just have a little devotional in the morning. And God says you have to change your want to. You have to want to walk in this thing. Proverbs 13. I'm sorry, Psalm 138. I skipped one. You know, it always amazes me how these people were trained to go to the Olympics. And of all the people that ever go to the Olympics, of all the people that try out for the Olympics, only a fraction ever make it. And they spent their whole life training for it. Of the people that go to the Olympics, only a fraction ever win the gold. And of the people that win the gold, only a fraction of those ever really become prosperous out of it. I mean, I have a few that become celebrities and, you know, they can do endorsements and stuff and you know, make good money. But by and large, a very small fraction of those that ever set their minds on winning the Golden Olympics ever do so. And of those, I would say the majority of them, the vast majority, rarely ever make a great living out of it. Out of just that alone. Amen. Yet they invest their entire life. They prioritize their entire life around making that Olympic team. Something in them has said that's of prime importance to them. And so their diet changes. Their sleeping schedule changes. Their exercise habits change. They train. I mean, who's the swimmer that won all the medals last time? Michael Phelps. That's right, Michael Phelps. Won all those gold medals. Set the new record, right?
Yes.
He will probably do fine in life. But, you know, we're not seeing him on TV every night. How many Michael Phelps commercials have you seen lately? One? Getting ready for the new. That's right, Subway, that's right. He's not making millions of dollars out of that. Yet he spent his entire life and become the greatest swimmer ever for this. His whole life is focused on that one thing. What would happen if God found a people that would focus on the glory and would press into the glory and prioritize their life, and they would eat different, they would sleep different, they would exercise spiritually different in a fashion to make God's 1% team.
Yes.
To make God's warrior staff. It'd be unlimited opportunity. I can't recommend this movie because it was somewhat violent. Not somewhat, it was violent. But somebody, I think, loaned it to us or something. We watched it. It was the 300. Anybody ever see the 300? About the Spartans? And there is one line in that movie I loved. It's when they're about to go to battle and the leader of the Spartans comes up and he's got his 300. And the whole other military force of the volunteer army comes up. And they've got a few thousand, I guess. And the leader of the volunteer force says, "How many soldiers do you have?" And he says, 300. He said, "You better let us fight. You've only got 300 people." Something like, is that somewhat close? "How are you going to win this? You got 300 warriors." And he says, starts talking to the guys in this other volunteer group. He says, "What do you do for a living?" He says, "I'm a farmer." "What do you do for a living?" This other one says, "You know, I'm a merchant, whatever." And he goes, three or four of them, and they're volunteers. Then he talks to his men. He says, "What do you do for a living?" He says, "War." "What do you for a living?" "War." "War." And he turns and says, "Apparently I've got more soldiers than you do." Because they had trained full time for war. And I'm telling you what, God's about to be done with the volunteer Christian force. With no faith, no training, no anointing, and no experience in faith. And he's looking to raise up a people that will invest themselves fully into the kingdom's operation. God's looking for people that are fully sold out to the Word of God. Psalm 138, have you got it? Verse number 7 says, "Though I walk," how are we walking? "By faith, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me." There's righteousness again. Righteousness revelation is going to save me. But he says, "I'm walking in the midst of trouble, but you're going to revive me." Revivalists are not afraid to walk through trouble. They're not afraid to. They're not afraid to stretch and go where God sends them, even if it looks impossible. Amen. They will move out on God's direction and see opportunities where nobody else sees an opportunity. Why? They have a supernatural source of sustenance and protection. And then let's go over here and we'll close with this verse. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Verse 20. That's not it. No, there it is. Yes, it is. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Got any wise people in here? You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is to know the path of God for you and to walk in it. It's to find out what God has you to do, how He'd have you do it, in and do it. And it says it's a walking process of going into God's plan. I want to make this clear as we're closing tonight. Walking involves going from one point to a destination. It's a progression. But being a companion of fools just means you're hanging out in one place. You're not advancing anywhere. And you want to make sure that you're hanging out with faith people. Not just hanging out, you're advancing with them. You've connected. In other words, you're walking with them means you're in covenant connection with them. You've locked in and you're going somewhere by faith together. Versus fools just hang out and do nothing. They talk about what they'd like to do, those that are walking in faith actually do something. Amen? Did you get anything out of this tonight?